who's still teaching at 81. Seniors bring so much to Quebec. Let's recognize their contribution. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Listening to the Romanian radio show in Montreal, Marca Ro. Ascultați emisiunea de radio Marca Ro pe 90,3 FM CKUT.
Representing the second part of the interview with Stephen Tracy Eisenberg.
I got tons of media attention because of his background and the genocide and whatnot, but it was difficult to sell records until I finally got a record deal in France. And quite honestly, I got refused by every single label in France. All the multinationals refused it until the largest independent label called Vagan Music said yes, they loved it. And there was a whole story to that. But anyways, that's how that became a success. And then, of course, you know, hindsight is 2020, and everybody comes back to you and says, holy, I don't understand what happened. How is it possible? Because we were on top of the charts, and then we won at the Victoire de la Musique, which is the Grammys in France, for best new artist. So, I mean, you know, I mean, these things are huge. And then people who ended up declining or passing on the project,
they missed something.
I was getting emails saying, what the heck did I miss? Where what the heck? How did this happen? You know, like, it's like unbelievable. Like they couldn't understand. But it's funny, I've done that many times in this industry. And that's why I'm a bit of a loner. I really don't work with anybody. I work only alone because I'm trying not to be influenced by what goes on in the industry. And I'm trying to keep all of my sights on the international market, which I've spent a lot of time abroad, writing abroad, etc. And that answers your question. How do you understand what would make a good song that could work outside of Quebec, for example, for a Francophone artist? And I did understand, and I do understand that, but it's still a very, you know, you have to be, again, at the right place at the right time with the right song and the right artist. So.
Have you ever worked with the Romanian artists?
Never have.
Like Gheorghe Zanfir, I think he lived here for a while, here in Montreal.
He did. He was a pan pipe player.
Yep, yep.
And he played the pipes. And of course, he was signed at the time on Polydor Records. At the time, I remember I'd met him on a few occasions, actually. And a very cool guy. He was kind of like in the same bag as far as that kind of spiritual, meditative kind of music that Yanni is in, you know, of thing. He was an instrumentalist, in other words, and same with Yanni. They were both, you know, and Yanni being from Greece. And everybody knew who Zanfir was because the record company did a really good job marketing him all over the world. And he he did make a very big impact with some of his records, which is really impressive with that type of style.
Hi, everybody, listening to the Romanian radio show in Montreal, Marca Ro.
Yeah. What is talking about Romanian people in Romania, what is the link between you and, because that's the probably the main point of our discussion. What is the link between you and Romania? Because there is a link.
Yes, of course, there's a link. There's a link on two sides of my family, actually, when you think about it. My dad, his father, was from Romania. I'm sorry, but I don't know exactly which city he was from. But yes, he was full-blood Romanian. And his wife, who lived in New York, they met in New York at the time. He came over to New York when he was very young from Romania, was originally also Romanian. And they must have met at some sort of a gathering in New York that was more of a Romanian gathering of different people from that country. That's my father's side. On my mother's side, both my grandmother and my grandfather were from Moldova, and basically were Bessarabia at the time. And in Bessarabia, like we talked about before we went on air, the borders between Russia and Romania were switching all the time and were changing all the time. So they were, one week they would be in Romania and the next week they would be in Russia. So, you know, it just depends. You talk about different years, it's different borders. And so
finally, you know, Russia won, I guess. And
they did. You know,
they kept Moldova. Yes.
Like they did with, other countries that they had as part of the USSR, that basically some of them were lucky enough to break away and become independent, and others still, I mean, look, Russia still got Crimea, and they still, you know, are still doing funny things right now in Ukraine. Yeah. So it's pretty difficult to see what Putin's strategy is, except we all know that it's because of the fact that these are countries that border on the EU, and basically they're of value to him to have them, just like Belarus is of value to Putin. I mean, he doesn't care much for Lukashenko, but he knows the value of the border of Poland and of other countries that border on Belarus. And so he doesn't want to give that country up, so he controls it through Lukashenko. And that's
yeah. I think he's one of the USSR's nostalgic, like someone who probably actually he said it right. I want to do again the USSR like spirit, and even why not the territory. So we'll see what happens.
Actually, people who come from that spirit. And my wife's family does, because Belarus was part of the USSR, who come from that original USSR spirit at the time, even though they had their problems of socialism and whatnot. And at the time, people were still quite happy. And the thing that changed is when politically when Putin came into power, his motives became quite a bit different. And so, you know, things changed pretty drastically. Plus, you also have to remember the size of the country. It's just humongously big. And it's a very difficult country probably to control or to govern. And politics is pretty difficult these days, as you know. I mean, everything, I'm not, like we talked about, I'm not very political, but I do read and I enjoy reading. I don't believe a lot of what I read, but I like to read it anyways, just to see different people's opinions and what they have to say.
Do you have a lot of, well, do you know, let's put it this way. Do you have any Romanian friends here in Montreal or in Canada? Do you have any contacts with the Romanian community?
Yeah, well, there was a guy who I used to be friends with. His name was Roman Basaria or something to that. I forget the last name exactly. Okay. And he went back to live in Romania, and he was doing music here and writing and whatnot. He was actually very good, but then he decided to go back to school in Romania. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, because it's been many years since I've been in contact, but he was accepted into medical school. So he went back for medicine.
Okay. I think I know this guy. I met this guy once. Yeah.
Yeah. He was very talented, and I co-wrote a few things with him, and he was a very cool guy.
What do you think about what's going on? Because a lot of people, Romanian people, they're not very happy with what's going on in Canada right now, you know, with the Freedom Convoy and everything. What do you think about it? Like, about this?
When you say that they're not very happy, is it that they're reading the media the way that we read medias, and
yeah, the media, and also what happens with, you know, the because I think Romanian people are very sensitive to any type of I was about to say dictatorship, but any type of imposing things to the to people, they really hate it. You know, we had a lot of bad experience with Ceausescu and with the communist regime.
It's so funny you brought his name up. I was going to bring it up, but I didn't. I was waiting for you to do that. But,
yeah. So you know.
But you have to see. You know, it's very funny. Look at anybody who comes from Eastern Europe. There's a few things that a lot of people there have in common. Number one, they don't trust government. That's the first thing. Number two is the fact that they have come through a lot of stuff over the years, like many people, but maybe even more so coming from there. And they've come through a great many bad situations with governmental leaders that were really, really either corrupt or just bad for the country. And so it's very difficult for them to come around, and no matter where they've emigrated to, if they live here or if they live there, and just all of a sudden believe in what's going on. For example, with COVID, you know, the highest rate of unvaccinated people is in Eastern Europe.
That's very interesting. I was about to talk about it. By the way, I don't see you anymore. I like, there is no more light, but anyway.
Oh, I'm going to turn my light on just a sec here. Yeah, we were talking. I was telling you that I think that people coming from Eastern Europe, if you look at their backgrounds and the type of governments that they've been through, there's a few commonalities that I've picked up over the years, apart from the fact that I'm married to someone from Belarus. But that's apart from that. They don't trust the government. And so in general, and so in order for them to trust in somebody, they have to do things that they're going to understand. Number two is the fact that it's the highest area in the world right now that is unvaccinated in the world. And there's good reasons for that, very good reasons for that. They don't trust the common news that comes out regarding medicine or anything else. It's not something that they take as being fact. So a lot of people, we were talking before about the truckers and stuff. Listen, to some people, the truckers are heroes. To other people, the truckers are a pain in the neck. Now, you know, it depends on who you speak to. I mean, my personal opinion about politics is basically that sometimes you have to basically look further within the person's character to know why it is that they feel a certain thing. I personally think that anybody that believes in something, they should basically have their voice, whether they're right or they're wrong, as long as they do it somewhat peacefully, they should have their voice. The truckers did that. Now, nobody got killed. Nobody was, you know, there wasn't major violence. However, a lot of people were upset. And sometimes, if you look at it the opposite way, that's what it takes in order to get your message across that you're not happy with the mainstay or with the news and the whole vaccination process situation, because this was an anti-vaccine rally. And the outcome with Trudeau was pretty obvious. I mean, he wasn't happy about being part of this whole situation because he's the person they're going to be going after. And it's pretty ironic that, that some weeks after this has been going on, many of the premiers of different provinces in Canada have basically rescinded the vaccine passport. So, I think there's goods and bads that come with everything in life. Do I think that there was a reason why the vaccination was put out there? Obviously, there was tons of people getting sick. I mean, there was so much, the hospitals couldn't handle it. Do I believe in a vaccination passport? No, I do not. I don't believe in that. But you have to take the good with the bad, and you have to somehow, I had to do things in life and I didn't want to be stopped because I wasn't vaccinated. So I basically went and got vaccinated, and I did what I had to do. But what do I think of the convoy? They got their message out there. They did what they had to do. And as a result of it, things are happening, on their side. It's in a good thing. Things are happening.
It's very interesting. I think you have a good understanding. You were mentioning about the Eastern European mentality and the Western European and, North American, because people in the Western part, I think they believe, that their government, they held them, right? It's they see the government on a positive light, and meanwhile, the people in Eastern Europe, they see the government as like something that they stopped, something like more bad than good, right?
So, well, it's because the governments in Eastern Europe, for the most part, are elitist. And because they're elitist and only power is only in the hands of a few, it becomes very difficult to trust people like that.
But do you think Western Europeans are too naive? They trust the government, and because sometimes...
Do I think that Western Europeans who come from Eastern Europe...
No, I was talking about Western Europeans from Europe, from West, okay. Western Europe. They trust the government, but this is maybe too naive.
They trust the government, obviously, more than Eastern Europe does.
Yeah, exactly.
They do. And
but is it good or bad? I mean, do you think it's
good or bad? Yeah. Look, to somebody who believes in their government and in the policies of the government and in believes that they're not being lied to on a daily basis, I suppose that you could say that that's a good thing. But if you talk to me about any country, Germany, France, anywhere, I'm sorry, but I don't believe that you've got that confidence in the government at all. And in fact, I think that things are shifting very quickly in Western Europe. As far as that believability goes, I think it's very difficult right now for a leader to lead, because in order to lead, you have to have the people believe in you. And I don't think that's very easy to do anymore because populations are so split. It's almost like a certain number believe this and another number believe something else politically. And that's why you find so many countries, including the United States, are so divided in their interests and in their, the US is another whole thing. It's a culture that I just don't understand. I was born in New York and I lived in Canada my whole life. But to be honest with you, that is a culture that I find absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I can't understand. They're so nationalistic. They don't care about anybody else but themselves, and they don't. They only talk about themselves, and so it's very difficult to read or to watch news from a country that's so intrinsically biased about their own country. And then you could switch over to the BBC and watch British news, and it's a lot more global in its scope. And they're not talking about only about what Britain feels, they're talking, or about what the UK feels. They're talking about what the world is in relation to the UK, whereas the US doesn't even care about what the world thinks in relation to them. They have so many problems over there with gun legislation, with unvaccination, with so many different things. And their whole political system is totally messed up. But Canada used to be so, as I was telling you before, when we were off air, such a neutral, simple kind of, you talk about Canada anywhere in the world, and it's, if you're wearing the maple leaf, it's the friendliest country in the whole world. And you travel with that on your lapel and you can go anywhere, because people love Canadians because they're so down to earth, and it's just nothing terrible there. And I think that still is pretty true. I mean, we're pretty neutral, but with Trudeau, we become a little less neutral.
And, exactly. I think now people believe that, Canada, what's going on? I have friends from Romania. They wrote to me, hey, what's going on in Canada? They passed like the legislation, the laws that they're not, not people friendly anymore. They freeze bank accounts. They do this and they do that. What's going on?
Well, Canada in general is still a very friendly, very peaceful country. There's very strong gun legislation in this country, unlike in the United States. And you don't hear about a murder every 4 minutes like you do in America. Here, there's still a beautiful standard of living and a beautiful way of life. And even if you speak to most Europeans that have emigrated to Canada, they will say the nicest things about the country and what it's provided for them as far as peace, quality of life, quality of living in terms of their standard of living. You know, it's a very difficult line to follow. I mean, when you talk about like something versus something else, I can't tell you what life is like in Romania, but I can tell you what life is like in Canada. And I can tell you that I wake up every morning and I look at the news, and it's depressing for me to read a lot of the stories that I read about different subjects that range from COVID over to politics, over to international business and other things. I think Canadians still have their heads in the right direction. I don't happen to agree with a lot of our policies, but look what, if you really do need to compare, you just need to look at how things go in other countries, and you realize that however much of a nutcase we think Trudeau might be, and still maybe too young to be where he is, I think that he's not dangerous. he's not a dangerous guy. I mean, he's just sometimes makes crazy decisions, but he's not dangerous to the population, and people don't wake up in the morning wondering if they're going to be visited by the
RCMP or whatever,
or Canada Revenue Agency or anything like that. I mean, I think that he's doing his best with what he's got. Do I think he's the best, politician or prime minister that we've had? Obviously not. In fact, his father was so much stronger and such a much more of a bureaucrat and someone who understood the median point and where to go to the right or to the left. I read about France these days, and their politics are really in the garbage. And Merkel has just left; she's left power, so Germany is going through a new phase now of government. And sometimes it's really difficult to look on the other side of the world and see what it is that they're experiencing and they're going through. It's hard enough to live on your own side of the world and see what we're going through. And what this last couple of years has been absolutely, I think the word is different, and you know, maybe slightly devastating for certain people who have lost their jobs or their, you know, lost their businesses or whatnot. It's been a very, very difficult and different way to go through life. I mean, I don't ever remember going through a pandemic. I never did. And do I remember being vaccinated? Of course. I mean, come on, everybody, when they were young, including you,
exactly, got yeah.
polio, rubella, measles. You got all that.
We got them all.
Yeah, sure. The only difference between the COVID vaccine and those is the fact that there was less time to study it and to make it tested for a 2-year or 3-year or 5-year period before actually giving it to the population.
Were you affected by the pandemic?
I would say, yeah, because I basically... I wanted to do many things and felt that I was kind of restricted just by the fact of what it takes to travel these days and what it takes. It's getting better. I mean, we're starting to see things kind of become a bit more open in terms of the way to travel, et cetera. But right now, if you're not, I'm vaccinated, but if you're unvaccinated, you still won't have that possibility to travel. So a lot of people are basically stuck in Quebec, and they can't really, they can go in Canada, but it's very difficult to go outside of Canada. And so it's the same with the United States, and it's the same everywhere in the world at this point. I think once we start to come back to normal again and restrictions get lifted, then I think that a lot of really good things are going to happen again and people will thrive. I didn't go through that much craziness during the pandemic, other than seeing what's going on around me in life, business, and whatnot. And I've seen and heard a lot of very not good stories about people who either got sick or who lost their businesses or that kind of thing. And COVID has not been such a good story for many people, and other people, they've thrived with it. I mean, they've used it to make more money.
Stephen, thank you very much for your time. And I would like to ask you to send a message to our listeners here in Montreal and to our viewers, like mainly Romanians from all over the world.
Well, I'm very proud to have Romanian ties in my blood and in my family. And I think that one of the things that I'd really like to do is to visit your country. And I really do want to do that sooner than later. I know that I will end up going to Romania in the next while. There are a number of different countries that are in that area that I want to visit, which would include Belarus and the like, for obvious reasons. And look, I mean, I think everybody has a story. And I think that you need to continue to live and to be happy and to consider yourself lucky that you live in a free country and that you have freedom of speech and you can do things that you always wanted, hopefully, to do in this country, and that nobody's telling you that you shouldn't do them.
I think the visiting Romania is a very good idea. It's a very nice country and a lot of things to see and to feel. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me on this show, and I'm really happy that I did this.
Thank you.
Ascultați emisiunea de radio Marcaro pe 90.3 FM CKUT. Magic juice, footballs in the house. Deci am pierdut tot când am plecat.
Mi soarele nu-i pe cer și n-am să mă mai trezesc ca să-ți pot zâmbi. Te pup, papa.
Evening, the time roundabout now on your dial should read 9 p.m. You're listening to Hotel the Blues' Spectacular Funding Drive 2021 special here on 90.3 CKUT FM. To get tonight's program started off, we're turning to Grammy Award winner Bobby Rush and his number, Dust My Broom.
I'm gonna get up in the morning and I believe I dust my broom. I got me another woman. Now my friend can have my room. I'm gonna write a letter, telegram every town I know. I'm gonna write a letter, telegram every town I know. If I don't find it in Mississippi, I find it in East Monroe. I don't want no woman